Here we go. And with the 20th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Troy Fautanu, tackle, Washington.
There you go.
Troy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, welcome to the bird, brother. Hey.
Say you're up.
7 out of 20. Hey, man, you and me both, man. We are so excited to have you. Look forward to getting started, man. You are our type of guy and player. It's been cool to kind of watch this thing unfold here, you know, over the last 30 minutes or so. We couldn't wait, man. That's why we got on the phone with you so early. Congratulations to you and your family. Sit tight, man. We got a couple people that want to welcome you to our organization. First and foremost, Mr. Art Rooney, okay?
Man, I was a little crybaby, I'm not going to lie. You know, it was very nerve-wracking just up to that point, you know, just because you never know where you're going to get landed. And I'm just so happy that, you know, things happened the way they did, and I was able to get drafted by a team that, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, so I'm super excited.
Well. If you are a Steeler fan, I think it's appropriate, right? Would you agree with me? We've got the young City Limits here with us. It's Paul Zeiss in for Joe. Joe, well, I know you're all going to be surprised, but I think it's on a golf course somewhere. City Limits, is this not the appropriate tone for today? Celebration. Because it seems like the Steelers universally are being praised for their draft choice.
Yeah, they hit a home run. Is it a grand slam? We'll see. But they hit a home run. This is a guy in Fautanu that, I don't know about you, Paul, but I didn't think would even be available at 20.
Right. Most people didn't. Most people thought, well, it's, you know, he's not going to be there. They had him taking a couple of other different guys, you know, including my man from Duke, Graham Barton, who... according to yesterday, the reports that came out, he was a generational talent.
Or the Steelers are going to trade up for Mitchell, the corner from Toledo.
I mean, I always find it funny, though, on social media. There are people on social media who just want to be miserable. And so... this pick gets, you know, this happens last night, and then this morning, I'm just going through social media, and about every fifth or sixth post is somebody scolding Steeler fans for not liking. I can't believe that there are people out there that are complaining about this. Do you know what's funny about that, Austin? I'm sorry, City Limits. You know what's funny about that? I don't see anybody complaining about it. I don't see any Steeler fans who were upset about this draft pick.
The only thing that they could complain about is his medicals. And if you're complaining about that,
yeah, I mean, come on. If you're complaining about that, you've read way too many mock drafts and read too much stuff from these gurus, quote unquote gurus. Honestly, that's just the way it is, if you ask me. And it's just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me, but it's like, well, okay, there was a draft choice. I'm sure there are people out there complaining about it. So what I'm going to do is complain about those people. At the end of the day, it's silly. 412-928-9370 is the number. Obviously we're going to get your thoughts and your reactions to the draft choice. Now, pronounce his last name, because Cam Hayward pronounced it a little bit differently than it's been pronounced a couple of different ways, and I'm wondering if that AU there, because Troy, I mean, because Cam Hayward pronounced that, you know, do you remember the old, what was he? Was he a running back, Chris Mahu?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Kind of had, you know, that Polynesian last name. So is it Fautanu? Or what, how do we?
Yeah, see, some people have said Fautanu.
Fautanu, is that how it's pronounced?
I've heard Fautanu.
Fautanu is how Cam Hayward pronounced it.
That's going to be our mission by the end of the next 20 minutes. That'll be my mission to figure it out.
If we have any Polynesians out there that could shed some light on how you would pronounce that last name, 412-928-9370 is the number. right? 412-928-9370 if you want to give some thoughts about Troy. So we're saying say that again with the extra emphasis on the AU.
Fa'atanu.
Fa'atanu. Are we saying Fa'atanu or are we just saying Fa'atanu? That's the question.
That's the question.
The best part about it is I've been around a lot of football coaches.
Yeah, it is Fa'atanu.
It's just Fa'atanu.
Just Fa'atanu.
Fa'atanu, okay. All right, Fa'atanu. Troy Fa'atanu. I've been around a lot. Could you imagine Dave Wannstedt trying to pronounce that name?
Imagine if Talisa Fuaga was picked
there,
here.
There was a kid that played for Pitt. His name was Gus Moustakas. Played for Pitt. I think he played 4 years in redshirt today. He played 5 years for Wani, and Wani was still calling him Gus Moustakas. Moustakas, even though it was Moustakas. I can imagine Wani trying to pronounce his name. So to me, it's just one of these things where I think that, you know, what makes it really difficult, honestly, what makes it really, really difficult to me is they only do one round of the draft. That's it. They only do one round of the draft. So, you know, like, for instance, I have people saying, well, how can you be that excited? They still need receivers. They only picked one guy. They'll get receivers. They're probably going to get a center. Relax, Chuckies. There's only one round. That's all we can react to. And at the end of the day, they did a pretty good job. Honestly, they did a pretty good job in terms of getting a guy that really, really helps them out. And it's funny. One of the things that, you know, apparently is a thing is his height, because he's not quite as big as a traditional tackle. To which our good friend Chris Carter basically says, I saw him, this is what he posted. Are you ready? Fontenot's arm length, 34.5 inches. Okay, his 34.5 inches.
Well, what about his hand size?
Joe Alt, 34.25. So he's actually got a bigger wingspan than Joe Alt. He's got longer arms than Joe Alt. And Fuago's arms are even shorter. So if you're concerned about his height, well, guess what? He's got the reach. He can reach out and, you know, do the arm extension thing while he's blocking. The other interesting discussion that people were trying to have was, well, what position is he going to play? He's short for a tackle. City Limits, can you remind me what Mike Tomlin said last night and Omar Khan said last night about the position he's going to play?
He will be a tackle.
Thank
you.
No
questions asked.
Thank you. So, in other words, you have the coach and the general manager saying, this is a guy we drafted to play tackle. And we still have quote-unquote insiders and experts saying, don't be surprised if he's moved to center. Again, maybe he moves to center eventually because he's not good enough, but everything that I heard last night suggests they drafted this guy to be the right tackle, move Broderick Jones to the left side, and away we go. And if they get a center tonight, you know, two of the centers are still on the board. If they're able to move up and get one of those guys, I don't know how you could be upset about anything. Obviously, they need a receiver. There's a ton of receivers in this draft. They've got 2 third-round picks. You know, go get a receiver. So it's a good start to the draft. And I think that when you look at all of the different variables and factors, the one thing I will say is, and I did the draft show last night with, it was Doug Whaley. We had Doug Whaley. We had Adam. We had Doran. We had Donnie Football. Yeah, that was it, right? Five of us. I'm trying to think. Jim Haslett. He was supposed to. All week we kept hearing that Jim Haslett was going to come in here. And yeah, we're still waiting. He said, Jim, that seat's still warm for you right there if you want to come in and talk football. But, yeah, no, we had a good time. And, of course, our good friend Archie from Archie's brought us all kinds of wings. And we crushed wings and talked about football for like 6 hours. What could be better than that?
Yeah, it was a good show. I enjoyed listening to it.
I appreciate it. We had fun. We're all a little tired, but, you know, I'm a little less tired than Adam and Doran. They had to get up really early.
Probably got 3 hours of sleep.
Yes. By the same token, Donnie and I and Doug Whaley finished the show. You know, those guys left as soon as the Steelers drafted Adam and Doran because they had to get, you know. So we were on for maybe about another hour and 10 minutes, and it was good. But my overall impression is the guys that were there. Now, the one thing the Steelers could have maybe done is moved back. And moved back and maybe still got one of the players they wanted. I mean, here's my thing. If Graham Barton was legitimately a generational talent, as we were told, they could have moved back 3 or 4 spots and still got him.
Well, and Omar Khan talked about that, and here's what he said about it.
We had the opportunity to move back if we wanted to, but when we were at 19 and waiting for the Rams to make their selection, and you know they picked who they picked, and we weren't moving off Troy. No,
pretty adamant from Tomlin.
Yeah, what did he say? We weren't moving.
They weren't moving to potentially not get Patanu.
It's clear. Here's the thing. There's times when you have a situation of where, you know, guys just say, oh, well, this was our guy, no matter who they picked, right? But you can really tell the Steelers wanted this guy. They really wanted this guy. And quite frankly, they didn't think they were going to get him. That's the other part of it. They never in their wildest dreams believed that they were going to get him. They thought, well, he's a guy that's going to be off the board by the time we pick, right?
I didn't think they'd get him. I didn't think there was any chance that he'd fall to them.
I didn't think so either. But what happened, I'll tell you, and I'll tell you what. What time do we have everybody? Everybody Loves Raymond.
Everyone Loves Ray. It's coming on at 10:30.
Okay, so we got a few minutes for a six-pack, right? We have a couple of six-pack, right? We can at least get it started, right?
There is always time for a six-pack.
All right, well, let's crack it open.
Give me 1 second.
Let's crack open the beer here.
There we go.
There we go. Ooh, that one sounds cold and really good. My impressions of the draft early on in the night was that it was going to be a good night for the Steelers because a bunch of general managers at the top of the draft lost their damn minds, okay? First of all, was there 15 guys or 15 offensive or 14 or 15 offensive players in a row to start, right? So I kept thinking to myself, boy, the Steelers might have a chance to take their pick of the litter from on the defensive side of the ball, you know?
It was very tempting to potentially take the corner from Toledo.
I mean, really. If I'm not mistaken, Jared Verse was still on the board when they drafted, right?
No, Jared Verse went, I think, to the Rams at 19.
Okay, all right, so they wouldn't have been. But, I mean, like, he was still on the board, like, 14, 15, 16. I'm thinking to myself, they're going to have a chance. Even though they really don't necessarily need an edge rusher, can you imagine getting him and having him as sort of your next edge rusher guy that can, you know, play both sides and give Highsmith and Watt a blow? And then eventually take over. But my thought was this. There were 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. Okay? And I said this last night, and I mean this. That sounds to me like a whole bunch of general managers and coaches that are going to be fired in the next 3 years. Because at the end of the day, if you take a quarterback that high and it doesn't work out, you probably are going to lose your job. And I don't know about you, City Limits, but there is very few of these guys that I think, boy, okay, this guy's going to work out. I mean, I've watched Drake May play. Obviously, he's an ACC guy, played in North Carolina. You know, Pitt played him. But more importantly, I watch a lot of ACC games. Whatever. I'll be honest with you. Every time I watch that kid play, I say this. I think there's something there. I just don't know what it is. Because for every time he does one of those, and of course they show the highlights last night, because he's got a little Ben Roethlisberger in him where he scrambles around and makes, schoolyard plays and throws the ball down the field. There's the one play against Pitt. I don't know if they actually showed that clip last night, but I don't even remember the play where
he threw it left-handed.
Yeah, he threw it left. He does a lot of that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. When he stands in there under pressure, or even not even pressure, and has to make throws on time, he's very inconsistent.
And I wonder if anybody in New England can develop him. Yeah. With a defensive head coach, no good offensive mentality there at all since Brady left.
Doug Whaley was saying that, Alex Van Pelt, who obviously is a Pitt guy, former Pitt quarterback, is the offensive coordinator there, and he's a quarterback whisperer, and he'll be a good guy. I would think, okay, but I'm telling you, I'm not sold on him. What's the kid from LSU? Jaden Daniels? Is that
Daniels to Washington. I'm not sold on him. I think May's better.
I watched him play. A lot of what made him good was just sort of his athleticism and running around and making things happen. Caleb Williams, to me, seems like a guy who does not love to play football. He seems to me like, again, I keep comparing him to Kyler Murray from the Cardinals. Kyler Murray could be really, really good. But when they have to put a clause in your contract to get you to study your playbook, and I see you out on social media doing all these other crazy things and stuff, and you're always, got something to say, and you're doing all these eccentric things, that tells me that you don't love football. And here's the thing. I'm an old fogey. I know. City Limits, you're, the new day in America, so to speak. I'm an old fogey. So I know that when I look at these things, maybe I'm looking at them as old man yells at clouds.
Well, I think there's a lot of things that you're correct on with Caleb Williams.
But my point with this is, okay, when this younger generation, they want all the glitz and the glamour and the bling and all that, they want all that. But I don't know that they really understand that you got to work for all that. Like, we've done it now. Now we've gone, because of NIL and all this other stuff, we've gotten to the point now where we're handing out all this stuff before you earn it. And it's like these people, they all think, well, hey, I've arrived. You know what? Treat me like Tom Brady. Because I'm a quarterback too. No, Tom Brady earned. Whatever he's got, he earned. And some of these older guys, they've earned it. And I think a guy like Caleb Williams and a guy like Kyler Murray, these two, that generation of kind of player, right? They think that we're all supposed to be like in awe of them and hand them whatever they want because, hey, we're quarterbacks.
Well, Caleb Williams is he's a made for Hollywood type.
Absolutely.
Of quarterback. He is. Just the way that he goes about his business, tremendously talented guy.
Yes.
There is no denying that. But, and I'm not going to fault somebody for showing emotion on the field, but you could tell very late in the season when he was crying in the stands and the way that he was just going about his business, people saying in the media that he should just sit out the rest of the season. Why is it going to matter for Caleb Williams? He's going to be the number one pick in the draft anyway. I don't know. There seems to be a lot of entitledness there. And how much is he really going to work for it? Because he believes that his talent is just so great. How much more does he have to push it? And in Chicago, he's probably going to learn.
Right.
He's probably going to learn it.
I just don't understand it. I mean, what I'm saying is, though, nothing comes unless you work hard. He's got to, That's the problem. He's not just going to show up and be a superstar, right? Especially in Chicago. So my thing is, okay. I'll give you a great example, Austin. I'm sorry, City Limits. I'll give you a great example. Caitlin Clark got that $28 million deal from Nike, and there are some people that are like, what? She earned it. You know what I'm saying?
More than anyone in women's basketball.
She earned it. She got 15 million people to watch the women's Final Four. She earned it.
She's the women's basketball equation of Michael Jordan.
She got drafted by Indiana Fever.
Yeah.
If you look, have you seen all the stories of teams they are getting, the teams that they're going to play, moving that game to bigger arenas?
She's the equivalent of Jordan.
You know what I'm saying?
There's no doubt. I mean
obviously
everybody wants to watch.
Obviously now she's got to, you know, prove it at the next level and you know, win championships and all that stuff to be, you know, at that level what you're talking about with Jordan as a player. But in terms of earning her, you know, endorsement, the fact that, for instance, the Las Vegas Aces, I think, are like they've won two or three of the last, you know, they've won at least two of the last three championships or something like that, right? So the best team in the league almost is moving their Indiana, the home game they have against Indiana, they're moving it to a bigger arena because they can sell more tickets.
Yeah, so they're like main arena that they hold UFC fights in and the Golden Knights play.
So she's earned it. Now she's got to earn it again in the WNBA, but my point is, with these people, Caleb Williams, USC was a disaster when he was there. You know what they were known for? Losing big games. Losing big games.
I saw him play against Utah.
Right.
Because I was there for the Steelers and Rams game. And I was not impressed.
No.
Because, and the group that I was with kept saying, like, when is Caleb Williams going to make that play that makes you go, wow? And he did, about once or twice. But a ton of inconsistent plays, a little bit of choppiness in the pocket, and overthrowing receivers. It did not look good at times for Caleb Williams, especially late in the season. And there were just so many excuses that were made for him, but a lot of it was on him.
Well, I'll tell you this much right now. So there's those three, right? I don't get the whole Bo Nix in the top 12.
What about the overrated man of the century, J.J. McCarthy?
And then J.J. McCarthy, I don't get that either. But you know what? Crack open another one because we're going to have a special six-pack. We need our own beer for this one. Can you explain what the hell the Falcons are doing? I mean, what the hell are the Falcons doing? That is a terrible job. Terrible job. You just spent $100 million on Kirk Cousins, which I think that's asinine too, by the way. Let's start there. You spent $100 million. Here's the thing. If you want to ask me who's the best, who's the GOAT, who is the GOAT at their profession, I'm going to tell you it's Kirk Cousins' agent.
And the $100 million is just what's guaranteed.
That's guaranteed.
$180 is what it could be.
Here's the thing. Kirk Cousins' agent. He's got to be the GOAT. You want to know why? Because Kirk Cousins is going to have to, they're going to keep him for 3 years. Probably going to have to, you know what I mean? Because of the guaranteed money or whatever. But in this year, 2024, 25, so at the end of 26, city limits, how much money do you think Kirk Cousins will have made in contracts as an NFL quarterback?
I think it's close to $500
million. $411
million.
$411 million.
And how many playoff games has Kirk Cousins
won? One. And he won't win one in the next 3 years either. One. Okay, whatever. Desperate team, desperate. Okay, desperate times call for desperate measures. They needed a quarterback. They went and got Kirk Cousins. Fine. Exactly why are you drafting Michael Penix Jr.? And here's the other part about that that's so stupid. City Limits, are you ready for this? If he were like a junior that left school early, so he's only like 21 years old, or you know what I mean, young guy. Okay, you're going to bring him along slowly, have him sit behind Cousins, have him mature physically, get him ready, maybe 2 years from now he'll play. Okay, good. You drafted a guy who is basically ready for AARP benefits.
He's as old as Kenny Pickett.
What are we talking about here? By the time he's getting ready to play, he's going to be like 29 years old. I mean, it just makes no sense.
It's going to be like the Browns drafting Brandon Weeden at 28.
The Falcons needed so many other things and so many other areas. And their thing was, well, we feel like if you look at our team, we're never going to be drafting this high again.
Yeah, right.
With a chance to have a quarterback like this, it isn't going to happen. Are you kidding me?
To pick the fifth quarterback off the board.
What are you doing? And they're getting destroyed. They're getting destroyed. I retweeted Antonio Brown. He has a hilarious take on the Falcons draft choice. You have to take a look at it. I retweeted it. I mean, listen, Antonio Brown's nuts. his whole CTE ESPN thing is kind of amusing, but I had to laugh at this one. And to me, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand it. Like, if what a horrific job by the Falcons. For, you know, the Steelers, and I'm not one to give you great draft grades 2 days after, you know, 1 day after the draft. Hell, the draft hasn't even ended yet. But I will say this. In terms of filling a need and getting the guy that they really wanted, I think the Steelers did really well. But if I wake up today and I'm a Falcons fan, I'm irritated. And I'm wondering, why do I root for this team?
It even looked like the owner was questioning what was going on and needed an explanation from the GM.
Yes. And if you look at the Browns, if you look around the division, crack open one more real quick. Looking around the division, I gotta be honest with you. I think the teams that picked, which would be Cincinnati and Baltimore, also did a good job.
Yeah, Cincinnati getting Mims was.
Yeah, Cincinnati good. Getting a tackle. I mean, listen, if you can't protect Joe Burrow, I don't care who your receivers are. He's gotten killed the last 2 years because they can't protect him. So them getting the tackle, the tackle that everybody thought the Steelers might actually get, Amarius Mims, I think that's a great pick for them. So they got a tackle, you know, won't surprise me if they go get another offensive lineman today. But that was a good pick for them, and I think that's what they needed. You know, they've got enough receivers, and even though there's, you know, all the receivers apparently are saying they want to leave, at the end of the day, getting a tackle was a good thing. And then, of course, the Ravens, you know, what I don't know, you know, what you think. And again, I'm not some guru. But the Ravens got a corner, which they need. And also, he's a guy that runs like a 4.3.
Nate Wiggins from Clemson.
Right. And he's a guy that runs a 4.3. He's a guy that runs a 4.3. So, I mean, to me, he's pretty good. And I thought all three, the Browns, the Browns, I think, still they still don't have picks for like the next 10 years because of the Deshaun Watson trade. But the Browns didn't pick. But the other two teams that picked did really, really well. One last one. Come on. Speaking of what the hell are you doing? If you're the Bills, there's one team you cannot beat and haven't beaten the last 3 years. In fact, if it wasn't for that team, you might have a Super Bowl ring already. And that's the Chiefs. Austin, what was the Chiefs' biggest need this year? What was the biggest weakness they had this year?
Wide receiver.
And the bottom line is there were three really good wide receivers on the board for Buffalo to take. But they decided to trade the pick to Kansas City. So now Patrick Mahomes has a new Tyreek Hill.
The fastest man to ever run at the combine.
The fastest 40 in combine history.
4.21.
His new Tyreek Hill.
Xavier Worthy.
Think about this. What are we doing here?
Like, how dumb do you have to be? And then they traded out a 32 back to 33 so Carolina can move on.
Here's the only theory I have. Because if they don't do this, then I have no idea what the hell they're doing. Okay? The theory I have, and I floated this last night as we were talking and they were going through this, I said, here's the only thing I'll tell you. By trading back to 32 and then trading again back to 33, they acquired like one extra pick and two or three of their picks, they were able to move up like, say, 50 or 60 spots, right? So they acquired basically lower picks that you can combine, right? Because the 49ers took a receiver, which would suggest that either Debo or Ayuk is definitely going to get traded, and the Bills maybe are trying to put together a package to trade for Ayuk or Debo Samuel. If they do that, okay. But to me, why hand Kansas City Why hand Kansas City the fastest guy on the board?
Yeah, and it's not like the picks that they got were necessarily, I mean, great.
They weren't, but they moved up. But what I'm saying is, like, they moved from, like, a seventh to a sixth, I think. They moved, like, from a fifth to a third or something. You know what I mean? Like, they moved up 40 or 50 spots.
They got a third-round pick and a seventh.
Right.
And the Chiefs get a fourth and a seventh.
Right, right. Their seventh is, like, 25 spots higher. What's the? And they went from the fourth to the third. And then what did they get from, was it Dallas or Carolina? What did
Carolina,
they,
I think it was.
They got like a like fourth.
Fourth,
right,
maybe.
Yeah. So they got a couple picks. They got a few picks, and they got they're a little bit higher, and they got a little. So maybe they're packaging something to try and get Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. But if they don't do that, they're idiots.
The cupboard is very bare.
They're idiots
at wide receiver.
What are we doing here? What the hell?